regret it when it ends. 'Cause I'm winding up in deep water. Why can't we just be friends? Now it's restless in this deep water. I'm lost between right and wrong.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. All right, and here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. 15th of March, it's a Tuesday, and make sure everything's working right here. Started out with a good old song we had. I guess today's Carl Smith's birthday, so I couldn't pass up a chance to play a little bit of one of my favorite songs of his from way back when. Let's see, let me check the chat room here and see what's going on. Looks like the Washington Bunch finally managed to drag themselves in here. I don't know what in the world's been going on, but they finally made it. Got a handful of anonymous, bunch of our regulars there. Welcome to all of you. Okay. Let's see. Pumpkin Cat writes at risk. I did look up the thing just real quickly, not to get off of our normally scheduled stuff. But I did look up the thing about the chimp that attacked that woman. She did live. She did sue. She got about $4 million out of the estate there. I guess the attack actually happened in 2009. And 3 years later, she got her settlement there. Long story, lots of stuff to go with it. I don't want to get into that, but I just thought I'd throw that in there for you. Quite a deal that was. I remember when that happened, man. All right, let me move on over here where we're supposed to be. You know, I guess you guys heard Rubio dropped out today. he went to went crying home to mommy after he got soundly beat in Florida by everybody. So I don't know what Kasich is still hanging in there. I'm not sure what's going on with him. And just so you know, just in case any of you had a notion, for whatever reason, to vote for Kasich, whatever his name is, let me read you a letter here. Come on, letter. This is from, let's see. Well, I can't hardly read the writing here, but it is to Representative John Kasich. Thank you very much for your support of H.R. 4296, the assault weapons ban. These weapons have contributed to violent crime and traumatized our nation's communities for far too long. By your vote today, we have taken the first step towards getting assault weapons off the streets and out of the hands of criminals. I applaud the bipartisan nature with which our victory was achieved and commend you for your courageous vote. Well, there you go. So just in case we have any of our listeners out there that are uninformed enough to even consider voting for John Kasich, well, don't. No. All right, let's move on here. Man, are we behind on stories. Wow. That week we were gone kind of got me a little behind. Let me see if I can drag up a bunch of these stories here. Not anything very substantially new today from the Finnecombs or from the all the patriots in jail in Oregon and all that. We keep a pretty close eye on that. Nothing too significant today. We're not slacking off from that even a little bit, but there's just not a lot going on today. So there's some. I'll tell you what you can do. You can go look if you're a Facebooker. Go to my page, and there's a link on there that I put on there earlier today to get a real neat T-shirt that one of Lavoie's daughters designed. They are $19, and it's a fundraiser deal for them. This is for their help with their legal funds that's going to start mounting here pretty shortly. And they should probably still a couple of hours left for that. And there's several other things going on. Please be very careful when you donate money to something that you think may be going to the Finnecombs. There are a number of unscrupulous, sorry, no good, rotten, bottom-feeding, scum-sucking people out there that are taking advantage of this, and the money is not going to the Finnecombs. So make sure if you're going to donate and help them out to check out the... There's actually a website, a Facebook page that has the... an official deal on there, and you can also go to their website, and I'll get that for you at the break, or maybe one of you can find that for me if you want to donate to their deal. Remember that they lost their only source of income. They had four foster children in there that was making them a pretty good living. And when Lavoie got involved with everything up there, the state come in and pulled him unquestionably at the feds' behest. And she has no means to. She's still got the ranch going, but the ranch just barely takes care of itself, and that was all it was ever supposed to do. That was a hobby of Lavoie's. It's not anything that's going to say ranch. It's not. They don't have thousands of head of cattle or anything like that. I'm not sure what they've got left out there. We took some to the to the sale last Thursday, but they have no means of income right now. So that wouldn't be the end of the world if it weren't for the fact that they're going to have lots of legal fees here. They've still got two legal battles going. One of them for a wrongful death suit against the federal government and the Oregon State Police. And also there'll be some more battles with the BLM. So there you have it. That's what's going on with them. Let me drag some of these other stories unrelated to the Finicum's plight, which we will never forget, never forgive. Here is a young man, he's 15 years old. He's been charged with second-degree murder and use of a firearm during the commission of a felony. Now, what happened here, this was in Virginia. He killed a man that investigators say was viciously attacking his mother inside their home. So I've got to kind of question this, but the investigators said the man was her boyfriend. They'd been arguing literally for hours. And then the guy physically attacked the mother while the son watched. And at that point, he got up and went to a place in the house where he knew there was a firearm. He took it, a semi-automatic, from its hiding place in the room, fired several shots, and hit the guy multiple times. Good for him. And detectives filed petitions for the arrest of this kid who fired the shots that killed the bad guy, the attacker, said that under Virginia law, all homicides are considered second-degree murder. All homicides. Now, something that a lot of people, let's go back to Lavoie again real quick. There was some mention numerous places on Facebook. Oh, they've ruled it a homicide. Well, of course it was a homicide. A person died. A homo sapien died, so it was homicide. Maybe homicide would be better. So all homicides are not murder. There's justifiable homicide. There's negligent homicide. There's aggravated homicide. All homicide means is that a person died. So, but there's a difference in this one because it says that all of them are considered second degree murder. Meaning, if now either somebody misinterpreted this or something else, or self-defense resulting in death is against the law in Virginia, apparently. When the investigation is concluded, the Commonwealth's attorney can do everything from raising it to a more serious charge, lessening it to a less severe count, or dismissing it altogether. But it's always going to start out as second-degree murder. That second-degree murder, even if they dismiss it, you'll never convince me that it's all going to disappear from the paperwork and everything. It's probably going to haunt that kid forever. But they say the investigation is still in its early stages. They got a lot to do. But apparently, the 15-year-old boy is being held in jail. No word yet if he could be released on bond. So. Unbelievable. You know, Amy asked me earlier, I guess Mini Minpin had posted something on the chat room about 500,000 people being incarcerated in America without being charged. If I'm not mistaken, the certain provisions of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012 allows that to happen. She said, how could that happen? How could that possibly happen? And I said, well, I'll tell you how it happens. And not meaning to be a smart aleck, it happened because we let it. Federal government says that's the way it is, and the most that's going to happen on our part is people are going to sit around in the barbershops and the beer joints and bitch about it. And until somebody's willing to take it any farther than that, then it's going to continue to happen and nothing's going to change. It's just the way it is. It's the nature of the beast. We created it and we can't control it. We won't control it. So, unfortunately, you don't want to get involved any heavier, then don't gripe about it too much. And here's another one. Kind of goes along with the same type of deal, kind of, that we're talking about. This is that the Navy, and this is up in Washington State. I know some people up there might be able to take care of this. But it says that the Navy has been caught conducting electromagnetic warfare testing in public in Washington State, in secret. They said that exposure to electromagnetic frequency radiation has been shown by medical studies and the Navy to cause numerous health problems, including corneal damage, tubular degeneration of testicles, brain heating, sterility, altered penile function, death, cranial nerve disorders, seizures, convulsions, depression, insomnia, chest pain, and sparking between dental fillings. And that list is far from complete. That being said, the electromagnetic warfare testing and training has been covertly conducted by the U.S. Navy on public roads in Washington State for over 5 years. Now, this reminds me very much of what went on in the late 30s, early 40s, when they were testing so many, everything from nuclear stuff in the Bikini Islands and whatnot, and the different gases and biological agents and stuff like that. How do they test stuff like that to see if it works on people? They test them on people. They find a bunch of people that nobody cares anything about and start running these tests. And there is a substantial amount of documentation on that being done on thousands of blacks in the 40s. Thousands. Look it up. Lots of documentation on that. Anyway, it's kind of a long story, but it says effects on small mammals, birds, reptiles, and amphibians were completely ignored, despite the fact that all 15 Olympic National Forest and state-owned sites selected by the Navy for the mobile emitters are in critical habitat for endangered species. They even said the amphibians were unlikely to be found at the sites they'd chosen, and the road and the Forest Service did not dispute this. So, interesting stuff, and that's kind of the same kind of deal. Why? How do they do this? How are they allowed to get away with it? Well, because every time we catch them, we sit around and gripe about it on radio shows and stand around at the pool hall and everything, and that's as far as it goes. So. Pumpkin Cat, I think, wasn't there. Let's see, America hasn't. See, it doesn't matter if they can't post bail, Pumpkin Cat. The article says, the title says, there's been 500,000 people who have not been convicted of committing a crime. If you haven't been convicted of committing a crime, why would you have to post bail? Apparently, from the title of the story there, they. I haven't read it. I'm going strictly by the title. But if they haven't been convicted of a crime, there is no reason for them to have to come up with bail. If the article says they can't come up with bail, then something's wrong because they shouldn't have to. Yep, the Bundys have been denied bail. Most of those guys, most of those patriots have been denied bail. So, I don't know. I just, it just drives me nuts. It kills me. It's all this stuff that's going on here. I do have a deal. We're going to go over this tomorrow. I might even start early tomorrow. I'll let everybody know if I do. But we're going to go over a couple of things. I'm not going to give it away right now. We talked about the Hellfire missiles that was found yesterday. Let's go right... Oh, I guess some of you, at least the ones in California, some of you may have noticed here that Carl's Jr. is waving adios to California. They're moving out. Head them up, move them out. They said the taxes are too high. This costs too much to do business there. So they are, CKE Restaurants, who it is. This is the parent of Hardee's and Carl's Jr. I don't know how many of you have been to a Hardee's. You don't see them too much anymore, but it used to be a damn good place to go get a hamburger. Anyway, they are going to Nashville, Tennessee. Hardee's is moving from St. Louis also to Nashville. Say that Tennessee is one of America's fastest growing states right now. Not sure why that is, but... Oh yeah, and just in case anybody wonders, there's no personal income tax in Tennessee. Kind of like Texas, or like Texas used to be. I don't know if it's still that way or not. But I thought that was kind of interesting. Let's see here. Let me look. This is a good one here. Once again, and we're seeing more and more of these. You know, we saw all these concealed carry laws come into effect from 1994 on, and you know, they just picked up steam more and more and more, and the ones that already had laws would go back and revamp them and make them better. Then some of those turned into constitutional carry, and it just got to be quite a movement there for a while. And but with all that being said, we kept saying, okay, well, this is a great thing because all these people that are carrying guns now, you know, the crime's got to go down. Well, crime did in fact go down in a lot of states. But what we didn't see, and what was hard for the libs to understand, is there was not any actual, you know, crime went down just because the bad guys knew that we were getting covered up with guns. It was all over the place. Everybody had them. But there's still hardly any stories ever of people actually using their CCW, their legally carried guns, to stop a crime. But that's changing. You know, we went for months and months and months on end without ever having a single story about this. And then we'd get a few, and then a couple more, and then another one, and then it's gotten to be where it's just quite the quite commonplace deal right now. Matter of fact, this one was up in Washington, happened man, a couple of days ago. White Center, Washington, a customer with a concealed carry permit shot and killed a masked man who come in with a hatchet. He's thinking to do a hatchet job on somebody. Went into a convenience store, a 7-Eleven, actually, a Sunday morning. And the guy that got lit up, his name was Stephen Blacktongue. Alrighty then. He was... This happened at 5:45 in the morning. The store says the masked man entered the store and immediately started swinging a hatchet toward a customer and then turned his attention towards the clerk. Witnesses in there told deputies the attacker remained silent for the entire time he was in there. Clerk suffered minor injuries to his stomach, but before any more damage could be done, the customer fired his pistol and hit the suspect. Medics arrived shortly after, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. Well, that's the cost of doing business, I guess. King County Sheriff's investigator said the customer who shot the man appears to have done nothing wrong, and they are happy he was there to intervene. Very good. Fortunately, because this customer had with his weapon, because of this customer with his weapon, this could have been a lot worse. What? Fortunately, because of this customer with his weapon. That's not worded very well, but you get the point. So I thought that was a good story. Let's see, we got time. You know what? Let's go ahead and take our break right now. Let me organize some of this stuff and get it off my desktop so I can see what the heck's going on here. And I shall return.
On a mountainside, not afraid to die. Hands held high, no gun inside. They shot him down on his way to town. A cowboy stand against a man.
Stand with you.
A cowboy stand.
No matter how it ends, it matters how you stand.
It never fails to surprise me that there are still vast lands of the United States literally uncultivated.
Well, it won't be this way long. Come the private airplane, people will start spreading around.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to be part of the new world?
Well, I don't think it will change as much as some people think.
Oh, but it must.
Why?
For too long, we've had that laissez-faire attitude toward executive operation. We must educate ourselves to share the responsibilities as well as the advantages of citizenship.
Oh, I read that book, too. It certainly made an impression on you, what that writer had to say. But it's a lot of hooey, fixing everybody up when they let out their first squawk, giving them pointers on good government between bottle feedings, and teaching them in school to be good little ladies and gentlemen and not smack each other around.
Oh, it's very easy to make fun of everything.
Listen, Miss Clutch. Have you ever heard of some fellas who first came over to this country? You know what they found? They found a howling wilderness with summers too hot and winters freezing. Did they have insurance for their old age, for their crops, for their homes? They did not. They looked at the land and the forests and the rivers. They looked at their wives, their kids, and their houses. And then they looked up at the sky and they said, "Thanks, God. We'll take it from here." They were rugged fellows. They were men.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
You know, that would be a damn good song, even if it weren't about the subject matter, even if it weren't about LaVoie. Let me rephrase that. Even if it weren't, even if LaVoie hadn't been killed, that would still be a great song. But the fact that everything took place the way it did, that is one hell of a song. And that is Brian Elmore that sings that song. And you'll be hearing it fairly regularly around here. It's going to likely to become my new theme song here. I like it. Nice try, Doc, but not hardly. Not even close. All right, I got another happy story for you here. This is about a family in Mississippi, down Doc's neck of the woods. The escaped murder suspect, been on the loose for a week or so, was, he was killed. He got went into this home and was holding the family hostage. And, I guess he just didn't pay careful enough attention here. Now, let me read this and let's talk about it a little bit. Said police were called to the home in at 7:15 in the morning on Thursday. 30-year-old homeowner told him that around 4 a.m. him and his 5-year-old son were in their garage getting ready to get in the car when this guy came in and approached him with a knife. Forced him and his son back into the house, where he held him and his 24-year-old wife and their son hostage, three of them. Man says he was tied up in the bathroom, managed to break free and began to scuffle with the dude, and then he was stabbed in the shoulder for his efforts. He then held up the family in the bathroom. At some point, his wife was able to leave the bathroom and returned with a handgun. Fired at the guy. His name was McLeod. After she shot him, she was able to untie her husband, who then fired additional shots at him. They ran from the home, flagged down a driver who was able to call 911. The police got there, found him expired. He was pronounced DOS. Is that right? Dead on the scene? Dead on arrival? Anyway, took him in for an autopsy, and I think they're going to find he died of lead poisoning. But he had managed to use a homemade knife, held a guard hostage when he escaped, then forced the guard to take off his uniform, black jacket and green pants. Police said he believed he changed into the guard's clothing and took the guard's radio and keys and then just walked out. They'd been searching for him. Let's see, he was in jail already for the death of Sharon Wilson in June of 2015. So I guess some ghost hunters found her and discovered her in an old abandoned hospital in Vicksburg, Mississippi. He'd been charged with murder, rape, burglary, arson, auto theft, and felon in possession of a firearm. Well, right now that's kind of all a moot point. There's one less vote for Hillary there. What a shame. Alrighty then. Well, let's move on. Oklahoma's looking good. There's a new bill in Oklahoma. It looks like it has passed the House to open carry without a permit. Now, don't confuse that with constitutional carry. It's not. But carrying without a permit is a good thing, kind of like here in Arizona. In quite a few other states, there's a lot more states than people realize. Matter of fact, I've told a few people that come in here and ask, come in from other states, And I tell them about being able to carry without a permit, and they seem a little, amazed, I guess I can just say surprised, but I was looking for something to make me sound clever, but evidently it didn't work. But there's actually quite a few states now. In Washington State, people are really surprised when I can tell them you can open carry in Washington State. And I'll tell you the truth, I was a little surprised myself when I found out. I didn't expect that to be the case. But go back to the story of the family that was held hostage there. That could have easily gone a whole lot differently if that guy would have had the notion just to kill him. They already had the man tied up, and how the woman got away, I don't know, but I'm sure at one point it said all of them were in the bathroom. He probably could have killed them all if he wanted to. Evidently wasn't in his plans, and they had to wait to be able to escape to go get the handgun and come back. So let's go back here to what does Cope say? Carry the gun all the time. Every waking moment of your life, you should be carrying a gun if you possibly can. If you're in your home, you possibly can. At least in most places. It's, Yakima Glock, that works fine until you get caught. I mean, it's the thought's nice, but it ain't really happening. Another thing I've told people, not everybody wants to take and put their handgun in the bathroom with them. It's not a bad idea to take a little 5-shot revolver and put it in a Ziploc bag, get a little stainless steel revolver and put it in a Ziploc bag loaded, and leave just enough air in the bag so that you can manipulate the trigger easily. You don't want it to be, sucked completely, like vacuum packed, where it makes it hard to operate, and you don't want it any extra air in there, just kind of normal pressure, and you can operate the trigger real well, and you don't have to worry about the gun rusting with the humidity of taking showers and baths and stuff in there, and just leave it in the in the bathroom, and don't take it out. Then you don't have to worry about it. We've talked many times about the fact that just do a search on how many times. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it right now. We're going to look here real quick and see, let's just say, woman killed in bathroom. Let's see how many hits we get out of that. 19,800,000 hits. Now, obviously, all of them are not about that. Video allegedly shows Massachusetts student following woman moments before. See, the video cuts off as Ritzer walked into the bathroom. Woman who allegedly killed American in mall bathroom. Woman guilty killing American teacher. That's the same story. But there's oodles and gobs of them here about women killed in the bathroom. You can put men in there. You can put child or teenager or whatever, and you'll come up with more just like it. So I've always encouraged people to, if you're not going to wear your gun in the bathroom, which sometimes some activities in the bathroom are not conducive to, or maybe wearing a gun in the bathroom is not conducive to some of the activities that you'll conduct in there. So carry it in. Put it in a Ziploc bag. Now, B2 Basic's got a Glock mounted in there. That's good. I'm all for it. If there was one in there that's not that you're not using for something else in there, But the thing about, I do like to, so they don't rust, you get them in there and they've been there for a while and you forget about them and they start neglecting them, and just about anything can rust. You know, Glock would be the least likely of any of them. But putting something in a Ziploc bag, now you don't want to put a semi-automatic in a Ziploc bag. You'll get your, providing the gun is chambered. Now that's going to depend on how many kids you got in the house and how well behaved and well trained they are and all of that. But if the round is chambered in the semi-automatic, you'll get at least one off, but there's always the possibility that the bag could wind up causing a little problem with the action working properly, depending on what kind of gun it was and all that. So revolver will work pretty reliably from inside the bag without worrying about it hanging up in there. So just a little food for thought there. B2 Basic, what do you mean you haven't been carrying all the time? What is your major malfunction? I'm anxious to hear the story there. You gotta let me know what's going on. All right, let's go see if we can find something else here. We got, we were just briefly, let me finish this story about Oklahoma here. Let's see, the bill passed the House. It would allow Oklahomans to openly carry a gun without a permit. It was the longest debate on the House floor Thursday. Eventually, the bill did pass. 73-15, very nice. Under this bill, if you wanted to carry your weapon under your clothes or in your purse, you'd still have to get a concealed carry permit. But if you wanted to carry it out in the open, under this bill, you would not have to go through any training or get a permit to do it. Oklahoma's open carry laws would change in a big way. Bill passed the House Thursday would do away with any of the training and permit you currently have to carry your gun in the open. It only allows individuals who are legally able to own a weapon, who are not felons, who are over the age of 21 for peaceful purposes, defensive purposes, to carry in the open without a permit. Our current open carry laws went into effect in 2012 and require a permit through the Oklahoma State, whatever that is, OSBI. All right, very nice. Things are coming around. This is interesting. I don't know why people hadn't thought about this before, and I'm sure it's been thought about it, but evidently there hasn't been a manufacturer that has gone the extra mile and actually implemented something like this. But it looks like Ford is going to start making police cars that the doors will stop armor-piercing bullets. Obviously, there hadn't been any up to now because you see them in the movies all the time. Guy shoots through the door and winds up, oh, no, wait, that's not true. No, as long as the guy's behind the door, they shoot at him with all kinds of rifles and shotguns and pistols and everything, and the door protects them. As long as they don't shoot him in the feet, it seems to protect them pretty well. It says this is a first for police cars, doors that can protect against armor-piercing bullets. Ford will soon be offering doors on its police interceptor sedans and SUVs. They'll be the first in the U.S. to meet the Justice Department's highest standard for body armor. Well, the doors are designed to stop a 30-caliber bullet shot from a high-powered rifle like an AK-47. Huh? Alrighty then. That's more powerful ammunition than many soldiers carry. I don't know where these people got their information, but they need to take it back because it's incomplete. But anyway, we get the idea here. Get the gist of what they're trying to do. Speaking of rifle, it looks like we'll find out tomorrow. It looks like we're going to have to postpone our designated rifleman class that was scheduled, I believe, for the end of this month. There's going to be some changes, some big changes in that class. Not in the way it's taught or anything like that, but in the venue where it's going to take place. So it looks like that's going to be done probably, the way it stands right now, the second weekend of May. Now, for those of you up in the Pacific Northwest, be sure and join us at the Arms Expo, the Liberty for All Arms Expo, again in Yakima, Washington. That will be, and that's not that long away. That's already all in the crowd in the second half of March starting here. That's going to be the 17th, 18th, and 19th of June. And immediately follow, there's going to be some good speakers and stuff going on. We just found out that Chris Ann Hall is going to be there. Going to have some other good speakers. This is going to be a neat deal. They've got we learned a lot from last year. And this is going to be a much, much better deal. Last year was good for being the first time of doing something. It turned out extremely well. But with everything that we learned and the extra help that we got and more money coming in and all that, I think this is going to be a fascinating expo. And the weekend immediately following the expo, on the 24th, 25th, and 26th, we're going to have a three-day personal defense handgun class with a night shoot, also right there in Yakima. And that's a great class. I've been asked, and I keep forgetting to put this on the calendar and get it squared away here. We've still got time to do it, but I've been asked to do a couple of other different classes up there, and I may do a Counter-Strike class, and or the Glock Armors class was another one I was thinking about. I don't know if we're going to have time to do a designated rifleman class, but the Glock Armor is a one-day class, and the Counter-Strike class is a short day, about 6 hours. And Yakima Glock's going to have us some flyers going there pretty quick, so we'll get those out. And we'll get it up on the website. Actually, I've got it on my website already. If you go to southwestshootingauthority.com and over on the left-hand side, look at the, I think it says class and event schedule. We've already got that up there. So you can keep up with that. Now, I hope that some of you are able to. We've already got people from literally from back east making plans to come to this expo. And I think that because of the events that have happened between last expo and this one, events like Anthony's arrest and the subsequent release and what I would call a stunning victory in his case in Spokane, the case of the veteran who was getting his house was about to be invaded by a VA guy that was going to take all his guns. Well, with the help of Representative Heather Scott out of Idaho, LFA and the 10th Amendment Foundation, 10th Amendment Center, whatever it was, jumped in there and stopped that one. We've got events at the mine in Oregon, at the refuge also in Oregon, and with the expo that we had down here, which didn't turn out to be as good as the one in Washington, but it was pretty good. It would at least everybody made enough money to get home on and everything, and that was we did touch a lot of people. We made some good allies and some good friends there. And it turned out, in that regard, it turned out really well. But there wasn't as much of the fundraising activities that we were hoping to conduct. We hoped would be more successful. But like I said, it was okay. Nobody lost money at it. It just didn't make what we'd hoped to. So, anyway, the what else? guess that's all the significant events that's happened. But with all of those things happening, and with the continued activity, the continued interest in Lavoie's story, we're meeting just a heck of a lot of people from all over the country. And a whole bunch of those people are like I said, we've got a tremendous awakening going on right now. Huge. Unlike anything I've ever seen. And because of that, a lot of people are planning their vacations and stuff around the Arms Expo. This is going to be a good one. I feel like this is going to be a great activity, a great event. And like I said, then we'll have the class the following weekend. And I'll have a booth set up at the expo. And not sure what all I'm going to put in it yet, but I'll have one, even if I just stand there and look pretty. Well, I'll have a booth there anyway. I may just play my harmonica and tap my foot or something, but by damn, there'll be a booth one way or another. And that will be... that will be about all of the activities that we undertake in the month of June. I might do a class the first weekend, but that will be all, because we'll be packing and getting ready to go long towards before the middle of the month. So that's going to be about all we do in that month there. There's this was kind of a sad... Oh, by the way, did you hear that Representative, or is he a senator? Let me open this up here. He's from Utah. It's Chaffetz, wants to take all the guns away from BLM and Forest Service. Well, God bless Representative Chaffetz. I hope he is... successful. Of course, they'll probably kill him when they find out about that. But law enforcement agents with the Bureau of Land Management and U.S. Forest Service are too Rambo, according to Representative Chaffetz. Says he wants to take away their guns and authority. Well, I wish you all the luck in the world, son. Whatever we can do to help, we'll be sure and give us a call. He said these agents are more Rambo and less Andy Griffith than I would like. Well, I hope he is successful, and I hope that a whole bunch of other states will follow right along. I hope it becomes a national movement. He said, let's not kid ourselves. The blood pressure is running high, especially in southern Utah, and I don't want anyone to get killed. Maybe you should say, I don't want anyone else to get killed. But he said he also wants to issue subpoenas to the out-of-control federal agencies to learn why they want to purchase submachine guns. He said he has had repeated meetings and sent a letter to the BLM's national director, Neil Kortz, with no satisfactory response to his questions. I want to know what kind of arsenal they have. I'm met with blank stares. They're wholly unresponsive. They don't feel compelled to answer our letters. Well, that is where our BLM and Forest Service and everybody is right now. They are above the law. They have no desire, nor do they feel pushed or feel the necessity in any way to answer questions and to obey the law. And I hope that Senator or Representative Chaffetz is successful, because if he is not, it is not going to be long before there's going to be other activities going on that will be less politically correct than Representative Chaffetz's activities here. So. Anyway, well, I'm going to scoot on out of here, and we'll see you all tomorrow. Amy will not be on tomorrow, and I may accidentally, I'll let you know early tomorrow if I decide to. I'll put it in the chat room. I'll put it on Facebook. I may accidentally go in early. We'll see. But we will have our, we will finish our week normally the following week. I don't know about, unfortunately, we may wind up missing a few days next week also. But it is definitely for a good reason. And I'll let you know about that as it happens. So, good night, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. Thanks for joining me. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for the Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let freedom